Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Red. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kind for being a part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You today. Why? Because I have a lot of good stuff for you today. Did a lot of videos, did a lot of clipping, etc., 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 etc. So we are going to have a good time, folks. Anyhow, welcome aboard, El Señor. Michael Rudnick is in the house. We have Dev from Brooklyn, New York. We have Dev Denny in the house from South Central Indiana. Wow. We're in every state, baby doll. We're every state. Melanie Keelan from Barcelona, Spain. We have Eric Hayes from Kingwood, Atascocita. How is everybody doing? Anyhow, let's get busy. From Michael Rudnick, The Hill, White House declines Comer testimony money in. The Hill. White House declines Comer testimony invite, declaring impeachment investigation over. Richard Sauber, special counsel to the president, wrote in a letter to House Oversight Chair James Comer, "Your committee's purported impeachment inquiry has succeeded only in turning up abandoned evidence, and in fact, the president has done nothing wrong. Yet, rather than acknowledge this reality, your March 28, 2024 letter contains the same litany of false allegations that have been repeatedly debunked and refuted by the very witnesses you have called before your committee and the many documents you have obtained. Your insistence on peddling these false and unsupported allegations despite ample evidence to the contrary makes one thing about your investigation abundantly clear. That fact do not matter to you. The MAGAT Twitter faction that has been running this debacle don't seem to care that their own witnesses have debunked their claims or have been arrested for perjury and lying to the FBI. One can easily infer that they're only continuing this because they're trying to create a false equivalency to Trump's impeachment and legal problems while their base remains willfully ignorant, and they intend to give the same disinformation to the DOJ, then blame the Merrick Garland, the so-called deep state, or any number of conspiracy bogeymen, Soros, Obama, Antifa, socialists, whatever, for not prosecuting. This is yet another aspect which is going to lose Republicans a lot of elections later this year." Exactly right. But we have to keep people informed. And that's what our program is here for. Keep people informed. If you are on YouTube, give us that thumbs up, folks. If you are on YouTube, give us that thumbs up. If you are on Twitch, go ahead and like. If you are on Facebook, go ahead and like us. If you are on Twitter, go ahead and share us, like us. Do all that good stuff to make sure that we get our message out. Very, 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 very important. Very, very important. Welcome aboard. Greetings from Houston. Hi there is her name. Listener from KPFT. Great to have a crossover now from KPFT to our daily show. So again, folks that don't know, we are on 6 a.m. every morning on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. That is played both on air and online. And on this one here, we are played on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're streaming on several channels all at once. So folks, hi there. Thank you for being here. Carl Cox is in the house, he says. Carl Cox is here. No gravy. No tiene salsa. ¿Qué pasó, Carl? Eric Kay says, huh. The go to the Middle East in Abraham Accords and sanctions on Iran with no way to fund terror. To now, I don't know what you're saying, brother Eric, but I still love you. E2247 is in the house from all over. He says, Hakeem Jeffries told House Democrats refuse anything less than $9 billion Gaza humanitarian aid if Mike Johnson works for GOP plan separating Israel and Ukraine aid bills this week. Tom C. is in the house here today on YouTube. He says, new limerick coming on Facebook. Hey, if Tom has a new limerick, you got to stick around. Everybody has got to stick around because Tom limericks, I can tell you, are the best. And you know what? He generally posts them at our website. Tom, you haven't done it lately, brother. You know, we love you. Where are our limericks on the website? Anyway, folks, you know you have access. All right, E2247 says, in support of Palestine, roads in Illinois, California, New York, Oregon were blocked yesterday, Monday, April 15th, temporarily shutting down airports, bridges, and highways. And you know what happened? After you guys did that, Congressman Cotton from where? I think he's from Arkansas or Oklahoma. I think he's from Arkansas. Went on stage and he advised violence against all you protesters. He wants you to be thrown over the bridge and skinned. So says Tom Cotton. Wow. A senator in the United States is asking people to commit murder. It is amazing. It is amazing that a senator would say that. But hey, let me tell you, I am so proud of those folks who are saying ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. They're not promoting violence. They're not promoting anything other than saving people's life. And the party of life, the party that says they believe in the human existence and in the sanctity of life, they are going to want to kill folks who are saying, Israel, stop killing people in Gaza. Israel, well, we're saying, stop killing people in Gaza. Anyhow, so thank you for that one, for reminding us of that. That reminds me of, we were in St. Louis about 4 years ago, and it was during just before the pandemic, and we shut down the highway that goes around the stadium in St. Louis. And I remember as I'm recording all of this, and we shut down the freeway, and I'm in the back of the group, and I am looking down and watching about 10 police cars coming on the opposite side of the freeway, going in the opposite direction, rumming down there. I'm like, I came to St. Louis to get arrested. What a bacchanal. But instead, we had a group of folks and that came in front to take the bridge. It was a marvelous thing. Sometime I'm going to play that some of that protest that we did in order to reduce violence back in St. Louis. Lee Grant is in the house from Montgomery County. How you doing, Lee? Great to see you here, my brother. Let's see what else we got. Para ver. I'm going scrolling down. Okay. I have a 15-minute video I want to show you guys. I did this one on KPFT. I cleaned her up to cut out a lot of the crap that I had in between. But this is an important video that I want everybody to please listen to this in detail. This is a very important message. And then we'll continue. We have two other videos after this, but we'll have a good time. But please take this. Also, this video, I have it separated on. And if you go to the blog later on, you'll see the video there. I need this one shared. We need to learn this stuff, folks. We need to learn this stuff. Check this out. Every country on this planet has its good, has its bad, because that's what governments do, good and bad. That's what societies do, good and bad. There's no pure society. There's no society, country, or whatever that can go out there and say, we are all good, we're all bad, or anything like that. We use nationalism, glory, glory, hallelujah, as a national form. I'm a United States citizen. I will do whatever I need to do to defend our people against other people attempting to harm us. That is just a natural thing. But at the same time, I, as an individual human being, Howard as an individual human being, Jack as an individual human being, all of us, it is incumbent on us to make sure those that we elect don't do the things that harm us. But we also need to understand that the people we elect reflect who we really are. Whether we elect them because of ignorance, or whether we elect them because of vengeance, or whether we elect them for some purpose, you know, they will not replace us. Whatever reasons we do, the elected officials reflect us. When we start to justify our support for a country like Israel, or our disdain for a country like Iran or anything of that nature, I think it is incumbent on us not to just listen to politicians, but to try again, listen to some history. And one of the reasons our country is allowed to make the choices that it makes, some very ill-advised choices, is because, again, we don't know our history. And likewise,
we allow those who profit, as Jack mentioned earlier, from war. Again, war is a very, very profitable thing. And when we allow our naivete to allow these guys to continue the profit from us, we make bad decisions. We have cascading decisions. Now, we love to hate on Iran here. If you listen to President Biden, if you listen to former president, I don't even know why I mentioned him, Trump, because it's not like he has a lot upstairs or even know a thing about history. But if you listen to their articulations, if you listen to our State Department, etc., you know, it's like for no reason, this one evil empire, Iran, is something to hate. Now, look, let me tell you, do these guys have a social system that demeans women? Yeah. Does this system have a social system that doesn't give women their rights, don't give people a whole lot of their rights? Yes, that's a very bad thing in the system. But does that mean we go to war for those things? No. Do we have crosses in our past where we have done things badly, just as bad as Iran? Yes. Should we have some humility when we castigate other countries for the evils that they do? Yes, we should have some humility. We should look in the mirror a whole lot of times, not only from the inception of the country, our past, when it comes to not only slavery or the genocide against the Indians or the mistreatment of our indentured servants or the mistreatments of the Chinese. Look, every country has its ills to bear. Every country has things that they have done really, really badly. And we have done our share to the nth degree. So we should have humility when we're talking about other countries, which we don't. Other countries, believe me, they know the things that we've done. I mean, while we can burn books in the United States to try to make sure our people don't know the things that we've done or to learn the historical things that we've done, we can burn books. We can stop teaching it in school. We can stop DEI. We can stop critical thinking. We can stop and try all those things. But all it does is it makes a population that is fairly ignorant. And in making a population fairly ignorant, it makes a population easily controlled. It makes a population that would not see what having elect a Donald Trump in 2016, what it actually does to what people think about us, not because of Donald Trump, but because we the people saw him fit enough to elect as a country that calls itself the leader of the world, that we could elect.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Someone as unintelligent, unknowing of the world like this guy. But on the subject of Iran and Israel, let's remember that back in 1953, when we, the country who says it supports democracy, overthrew Moshadai in Iran, which it started all this cascading. I mean, people have a tendency to have a window of opportunity or a window where they only see what's happening today, not understanding the genesis of the situation, not understanding that there is always cause and effect. And you know, it becomes cliche when you hear Jack today talk about the defense industrial complex, or when you hear Jack talk about the oil, everything is based on oil, or it seems like we're here to attack oil, something that, let's say, Texas is very dependent on. Nope, that's not it at all. It's that so many Americans, so many foreigners, so many Panamanians who came and fought in the American military has paid so much for those fat cats sitting in these offices controlling the world by oil. The world is run still by oil, and we don't understand it. When you see the corporate greed index, also known as inflation, that all has its genesis in oil. People say, well, what are you talking about? The fertilizers that the farmers use, oil. The transportation of the goods to market, when you go to the store and whatever, oil. The flights moving around the country, oil. The electricity, mostly that we burn, hydrocarbons, oil. Everything is an oil economy, and it plays a major role in the enrichment of a few. Now, ask yourself what happened in 1953. The new government that it was elected in Iran said the following. All the oil companies that have royalties here drilling for this great amount of oil in Iran, which has a huge reserve. You know what we want to do? You foreign companies come into our land, drill for oil, take the oil, and give us a profit, a royalty. So you come to my land, you're digging for my oil, and you're giving me 16 cents on the dollar for the oil that you extract out of the gold, for the oil of the Iranian people that you extract out of the ground. You're giving us 16 cents. But it's not that you're giving us 16 cents. It's that we have an idea that you're not telling us how much oil you're taking out of the ground and sending it onto the markets. So Moshadai says, you know what, guys? We want an audit of what the British and the American allies are taking out of the ground. And for that, we, the British and the Americans, overthrow the government and reinstall the monarch Pahlavi into Iran. That is how this new Iranian thing started. We should understand a few things here. Oil. A country overthrown because of oil and how much profit is going to be made by a particular company. The company now known as BP and others. How many of you know that? How many of the people here really condemning as super evil this country of Iran? Okay, I'm not here to defend Iran. I'm not here to defend Israel. I'm not here to defend anybody. I'm just here to tell what has happened, stuff many of us don't know. And in not knowing, we make bad choices, or we support bad choices. So this stuff didn't start yesterday. And the same with the formation of Israel a few decades ago and the defense of Israel, which we continue to do. Let's look at also how Israel was created. For what reason? Partially also because of the prejudices, racism of America and Europe. It's a deep story, but I understand that you know, when you create a new country where people are, you must ask yourself questions. But that's beside the point now. But we must understand the history. Now, we have had problems with Iran since the overthrow of Pahlavi, Reza Pahlavi, which was a pawn then, the monarch, a pawn of the West. He did a lot of good things for Iran, but still, again, allowed the pilfer of the country, like we pilfered other countries, like we've done with oil around the world. Remember many a times I said, this is a corporate greed index. There is no oil shortage. There was never an oil shortage. The way we prevent Venezuela from putting its oil on the market by attrition, because again, under Venezuelan law, that oil would belong to the people, not the corporations, which means the people would benefit from the extraction of the great resources in Venezuela. We can't have that. So we rather keep that oil in the ground until we can get the appropriate government in power where corporations can just take the profit for a few. We take a look at the United States of America. We are kept sufficiently in check by giving us just enough to live on, to give the semblance of prosperity as our oil companies go onto federal land and mine the oil and take the oil that should be the birthright of every single American, which means if all that oil's money, instead of going into the coffers of a few, instead of enriching a few, was going into the coffers of the United States of America, your tax rates would be much lower. You would have healthcare. You would have all these things instead of watching a smiling few on Wall Street talking about how great it is that oil is now $90 a barrel, even as there has never been an oil shortage as you have been lied to and told. Look it up. Look up where the major sources of oil are still in the ground. And I'm not an oil proponent, of course. I like green energy. But I'm just saying, even with those who purport to love oil, it's all over the place if we really wanted to talk about it. Now, the war, what Israel did to take your eyes off of the genocide in Gaza. You go ahead and you bomb a sovereign land. And when I say sovereign land, I'm not talking about Syria. Every embassy in every country is a piece of land that is at that point in time, while it's an embassy, it's the land of that country. So the Russian embassy in the United States is Russian land. The Costa Rican embassy in Washington is Costa Rican land. The Finnish embassy in Washington is Finnish land. The agreement that countries have around the world is that we have a piece of said country in every single country as a representative of our country in your land. It's a place where you, the laws of your land are. It's a place where you should have safe haven. That's why people looking for asylum can run into the embassy in Iran, can run into the embassy in Israel, can run into the embassy in Japan, can run into the embassy in England, or all these other places, because that piece of land that that embassy resides on, that that consulate resides on, is a part of that country by decree. When Israel sent those missiles knowingly into that Iranian consulate in Syria, it invaded Iran. And it set a precedent that now these guys are at war. Look, even when the United States was at war with Japan, the Japan consulate officially or embassy was untouched, because you have to have continuity in a world of many countries. Netanyahu cares nothing about what it does and how it affects the world internationally. And what we have allowed being complicit in this, and the retaliation by Iran. And by the way, everybody saw those things flying in the air, all those 300 and something drones. Iran wasn't trying to do no damage to Israel. It just wanted to make a point to the world. You know why? Because the Iran knows that if too many of those bombs landed in Israel, the United States, the great defender of Netanyahu, would have escalated themselves. In fact, over 80 drones, missiles, etc., were intercepted and blown up by the United States forces in the different oceans. We did it. We are a part of this war. We can say whatever we want. We can tell Israel not to escalate, whatever we want. We're already in this war. We are fighting against Iran when we took out those missiles, right? That dome, the Iron Dome, partially developed by the United States, the Patriot missiles developed by the United States, the David system, that all those systems that seem to work perfectly around Israel, that invisible dome designed by you, the United States of America, some of it by the United States of America plus Israel. Every missile that went into the sky to knock out one of the Iranians' drones and missiles cost you, when in regards to the Patriot missiles, every single one of the hundreds of missiles released on Friday or Saturday night, you paid $4 million because Netanyahu wanted to make a point and take out a consulate in Israel where a few generals got killed. Just like Israel has taken out since 2012, scientists after scientists, nuclear scientists after nuclear scientists after nuclear scientists in Iran. I don't know if a nuclear scientist in Iran could get insurance because they're a marked person for Israel, for Netanyahu to take out. If we want to be respected around the world, there are two ways to be respected. We got to respect you because you may drop a bomb on us. That's the kind of respect we have today. That's the only respect we have today. But when it comes to intellectual honesty, that's gone. Biden started to rebuild that, but then he hugged Netanyahu. We must know our history.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.
Absolutely, folks. Please go join. Join it however way you can. Good way to find out, go to politicsandright.com/support. That gives you all the different methods in which you can support us. Anyway, folks, we continue with having a great program for you. Let's see what else we got here. Lee Grant says, we need to look at complete history. Note the New York Times Terrence Smith writing about Iran in 1984 described the use of child soldiers by Iran to clear minefields. Young boys aged 12, 17 years wore red headbands with the word Sar Allah in Farsi and small metal keys that the Ayatollah declared were their tickets to paradise if they were martyred in their missions. Many were sent into battle against Iraq tanks without any protection and bound by ropes to prevent desertion. Okay, that's terrible. But what does that have to do with the reason I mentioned about Iran? You know, we have a tendency to try to look at bad things that they did. Okay, that's what they did in 84. Hey, guess what? America used to enslave black people. Oh, guess what? America effected a genocide against Native people, and America still have the Native people in these reservations that are purported to be their private land and their private countries, but still America has jurisdictions over all these. Oh my God, wait a minute. America murders black bodies and brown bodies in the streets by cop. Oh, I mean, the same way you are writing those stories that the New York Times speak about Iran, Iran is writing stories about things that happened in the United States of America, and they'll tell the same kind of stories about us. And guess what? Both of them are generally true. That likely occurred. I didn't know about that particular thing about Iran. It's likely true, but it's also true the things that we do. It is also true that we have kids that don't have access to health care. It's also true all these things that we claim are of life, we do it right here. So you see, be careful when you're pointing fingers because they'll point right back at you. Let's be careful. Instead of us trying to find, oh, look at the bad things Iran do, we should try to make ourselves a people that honestly cares about our people. Give our people good health care. Give our people good family care. If we gave people more family care, you'd have less thugs on the streets. If we created a social economic environment to stop these things, we wouldn't have the problem. So conservatives, brother Lee Grant, yes, bad things happen, and we're a perpetrator of a lot of it. We can solve these problems. Guess what? Yes, we can solve these problems. Not by saying, look at what Iran is doing, but let's look in the mirror and solve the problems at home. Anyhow, our good friend, the governor of New Hampshire, before we do that, I've got to go to a new limerick because Brother Tom Zarnick has posted a limerick. So therefore, let's get to it. All right, folks, a new extended limerick by the one and only Tom Zarnick. Let's get busy. All rise. The court's now in session, is the bailiff's cry. Thus begins the trial of Orange Man in blue suit and red tie. Sitting in front of judge and jury, he shouldn't fret, shouldn't worry. For just like OJ 30 years ago, DJ has high-priced lawyers in a row, assuring him he will receive what an ordinary citizen can't achieve or even conceive that's fair. The best U.S. system of justice like health care that money can buy. Oh, man, I love the way you tie that all together, Tom. Even healthcare you got in there. I love it. I love it. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, Eric Hayes says, isolationism of them and get rid of thugs in law and order. I guess we need to get rid of Tom Cotton. We need to get rid of all those guys who attempted to overthrow the government that are sitting in the same place that what that the overthrow was attempted. Yeah, I agree with you. Eric Hayes says, Tom, do a limerick on using the DOJ to take down your political opponent. If you buy that, I'm concerned about your mental health, Mr. Eric Hayes. I'm really concerned about your mental health, sir. But maybe, I don't know. I don't know. All right, let's see what else we got here before I move on to the next video. Para ver si hay algo para mí aquí. I don't see anything else that I need to read out loud unless you guys send it right now. All right, let's go to the next video. This one is, let's take the abortion one first. Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is the former DNC chair. Always loved her. She's a true centrist Democrat. And we also have Reince Priebus, who is used to be what I would call a right, not completely right wing, but a fairly right wing kind of a Republican. But now he went batshit crazy. And the good thing about it, though, is Donna Brazile really showed how it is done, the way she got him an abortion. Bruce Pollard is in the house. He says, nada. I think that's the first time I've seen you in here for the day, Bruce. Is that correct? Bruce is in the house. So let's go ahead and get that video played for you. I'm going to get it started ahorita mismo, ahora. Democrats, specifically progressives, usually have the moral high ground when you look at the policies as far as what is best for humanity, what works, how helping people, etc. The policies they support are the policies that are generally humane. In other words, not thinking capital first, not thinking that material things and money thing supersedes humanity. Now, the same applies in abortion. It applies in social services. It applies in Social Security. It applies in Medicare, Medicaid. All these policies are things that they wholeheartedly support, where we have a party, a conservative group of leaders whose intent is to subjugate and remove abilities and freedoms. That is a categorical, provable fact. But one of the issues that we have is, in general, Democrats have a tendency of fight from a defensive nature. Their assumption is that somehow the average American citizen is as inhumane as the policies that conservatives like to promote in the aggregate. Yes, there are some conservative policies that I support that are worthwhile. In fact, that I've learned that it's probably preferential to some of the old liberal policies that I had mimicked or spoken about before and adjusted what I thought in that regard. But now in the aggregate, most conservative policies are simply bad. They are simply ones that hurt people, they're simply inhumane. So therefore, progressives, Democrats should always be able to fight from a position of strength. You don't fight in a defensive manner. You fight in an aggressive manner on the policies you support. And I rarely see that, even to this day, when we should be in command of the policies of what we've done to aid people. We need to go a lot further. But what we've done compared to what Trump did in the 4 years that he was president, what Bush number one did. These positions that have made America progress are distinctly Democratic, distinctly progressive, especially under President Biden, who has taken much of this advice from a lot of progressive leaders in Congress, Pramila Jayapal, Ro Khanna, and many others. That's why it was wonderful seeing Donna Brazile, former chair of the Democratic Party, come out in this snippet that I have followingly, come out and not back down from her position of strength, but to go ahead and hit Rance Prevost, the former RNC chair. And the great thing about this is you see that when you challenge the paper tigers, how easily they fold, how quickly they fold. She took command of this discussion on abortion. Check it out. And we should be doing this on healthcare. We should be doing this on Medicare. We should be doing this on support for families. We should be doing this across the board, not backing down from the comment. When we get into the discussion, not allow them to frame a fallacy, but to put things the way they are. Check this out. Then we'll take it on the other side.
Until they can get their message together, this has been a lifeline to the Democrats. And I think President Trump, what you saw is that he understood it and he wanted to move on from it.
No, it's punishment. When a 12 or 13 year old girl who didn't know she was pregnant,
we're talking
is
about the
raped,
third trimester here.
Raped. You want to get third? Second trimester, let women make this decision. Trust women to make this decision.
What?
And this is not a Democrat or Republican. This is an American freedom issue for women. Well, we fought for this right to be able to make a decision based on our own bodies.
Donna,
and you want to get into the technicality. That's it. You men want to tell us what to do with our bodies.
No.
You want to tell us how long our period should last. You want to tell us how long we should be pregnant, where we can go, if we need IVF treatment. No, I'm hearing it. Now, thank God. I'm not Sarah in the Bible. She had a baby in her 60s. So I am grateful that I'm beyond those ages, but I am concerned that my nieces are being given less rights to choose. And to go back to an 1860 era when my great-grandmother barely just got her freedom. Hell no, we're not going back.
Okay,
and this is going to be like the MAGA movement. It's a movement where women are sick and tired of men telling us what to do with our bodies.
No one wants to go back to 1864. But the question for Democrats is, at what point should there be a regulation? Is it halfway through the pregnancy? Is it two-thirds? Is there any place in this conversation where there is a moment in time that abortion should be regulated?
Her health should be the priority. Her health. What's so hard about the health of a woman?
The challenge that Republicans have right now, though.
The health.
30th week, Julie.
The health of a woman.
But you're talking about third trimester, and you look at Florida, 6-week ban. You look at what happened in Arizona. These are positions that are outside of the where most Americans are right now.
And Republicans have not been able to get out of the ditch on this issue because they're framing it in these early stages and they're not finding a position that the majority of Americans support.
I was happy to see what Donna Brazile did here because I had never seen a Priebus who always knows how, this guy knows how to make a lie flourish into truth. I had never seen someone, yet alone a woman, put him in his place as Donna Brazile did and made sure that he had to cut back and realize that, no, not only is this a losing matter, but if he is approached this way on issue after issue, we will beat him down into, I don't want to say submission, but into those watching, allowing them to see the fraud that is the movement that we have now facaded as a conservative movement, which is nothing more than inhumane policies that transfer our wealth to the top, impoverishes the poor, impoverishes the poor is already impoverished, impoverishes the middle class, and ensures that we just have two classes, the have and the have-nots. Exactamente, exactamente, exactamente. Preferiblemente lo que necesito. Anyway, folks, Bridge MCP is in the house from Binghamton, New York. How you doing, my beautiful dear Bridge? She says, try regulating a man's parts. I know, the men just keep wanting to have input, If God wanted to have input, he'd allow you to have kids. You can't. Guys can't have kids. Shut the hell up and leave it for women to decide, okay? You have, it's not your business. You may say, well, I help procreate the kids, but you can't carry the kid. You can't carry the kid. And then half the time you don't want to pay for the kid. Stay out of it. It's a woman's choice. Period. Punto final. It's not our position to dictate timing. It's not our position to dictate what she should do. It's not. Until that baby is legally born and is a separate entity, the only person with rights is the mama, the person who's providing the sustenance and sources for that. Nothing more. It's not a complicated thing to think about. And for those who want to have a say, hey, have a say in your own body. Have a say in the body of your daughter, your kids, your family. But leave everybody else alone. Stop trying to impose your beliefs on others. Okay? When that born entity has a social security number, etc., then. But beware, people, those that are voting Republican this year. Remember, the ultimate goal, as I pointed out, was personhood at inception. That's a very technical term. Personhood at inception. That means as soon as you have sex and that baby is fertilized into an egg. Republican orthodoxy is to give that fertilized egg what's known as personhood, which means they effectively already have a social security number. If that woman goes ahead and steps wrong, or she goes ahead and have a drink and whatever, and that baby is affected by anything done by that woman, personhood gives the state the right. Personhood gives you the state the right to persecute you for anything you do to your body that may somehow have an impact on that kid. And my brother Lee Grant says, progressive reasoning, no moral value until you have a social security number. Well, you know what's interesting? I'll say yes to that. Until you can have a valid social security number. But here's the other thing. Conservatives have no moral values for those people who already have social security. They don't mind you starving. They don't mind you dying. They don't mind you having policies that get you killed. They don't mind police officers murdering you. But they sure as hell mind about that fertilized egg. But the things that really keep the living alive, the thing that keeps you in existence, they don't care about that. Let's be clear here, people. Let's be very, very, very clear. They don't care about those particular issues. All right? Let's be very clear. The conservative orthodoxy is about the unborn. But after the person comes into existence, you're on your own. We don't care that much about babies then. Let's remember that. And I don't know, Brij, why is the right so infatuated with sexuality? I have no idea. I have no idea. But anyhow, we have one last video before we end our baby here. And that is Epic Stephanopoulos. This is a beauty. It just shows you the hypocrisy. Check this out. We'll take it on the other side. If you want to see hypocrisy at its heights, we got to look at Governor Sununu. Governor Sununu in an amazing fashion. The guy who said Donald Trump was a creep. The guy who said Donald Trump should resign. The guy who said, not resign, but not drop out of the race. The guy who supported Nikki Haley. And he had a whole lot of words to say. Now he's a staunch supporter of Donald Trump. It just shows you the weakness, the ineptitude, the dishonesty of these people. It just shows you how it happened. Well, not how it happened, but it just shows you what these guys are made of. Listen to this, and then we'll take it on the other side.
joined now by New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who worked against Donald Trump during the primaries, has now endorsed the former president. Governor, thank you for joining us this morning.
You bet.
History being made tomorrow, that criminal trial. Will your support for Donald Trump continue even if he's convicted in Manhattan?
Yeah, this trial is not going to have major political ramifications that a lot of people, I think it may have. And when it comes to these issues, people see it more as reality TV.
Well, yeah, you're going to politics, though. I'm asking you about right and wrong. You think you're comfortable with the idea of supporting someone who's convicted of a federal crime as president?
No, I don't think any American is comfortable with any of this. They don't like any of this, of course. But I mean, when it comes to actually looking at each of these trials as they kind of take place, whether it's this year or next year, as they kind of line up, the right now, this is about an election. Right. This is about politics. That's what people are judging this on. And the ultimate decision will be in November.
You're a governor. No. You're an elected official. I'm asking whether you're going to be swayed by it.
Yeah. Look, nobody should be shocked that the Republican governor is supporting the Republican president.
As you mentioned, this is only one of several indictments the former president is facing. Perhaps the most consequential one, of course, related to January 6th. Right after that January 6th attack, I want to put this up on the screen. You said it is clear that President Trump's rhetoric and actions contributed to the insurrection. The domestic terrorists who attacked the United States Capitol must be held accountable and prosecuted. Do you stand by that statement?
100%. Of course, they have to be prosecuted, and they are being prosecuted. That's good. I think his actions absolutely contributed to that. There's no question about that. I hate the election denialism of 2020. Nobody wants to be talking about that in 2024. I think all of that was absolutely terrible. But what people are going to be voting for, the reason I'm supporting not just the president, but a Republican administration. That's what this is. They want a culture change in Washington, all the rules and policies that pound down on the American people, all the wokeness.
Wait a second right there. Your words were very, very clear on January 11, 2021. You said that President Trump's rhetoric and actions contributed to the insurrection. No other president in American history has contributed to an insurrection. So please explain, given the fact that you believe he contributed to an insurrection, how you can say we should have him back in the Oval Office.
It's not, because for me, it's not about him as much it is having a Republican administration, Republican secretaries, Republican rules, a sense where states' rights comes first, individual rights comes first, parents' rights comes first. We're going to have a pro-business economy. We're not going to have a cancel culture that has really infiltrated all across America.
That doesn't make any sense to me, Governor. I'm sorry. You're saying it's not about Trump. You're saying he would be the president. And you've said he's someone who's contributed to an insurrection.
I understand it doesn't make sense to you, George, but look at the polls.
I'm not talking about polls. I'm asking you a very simple question. You believe Donald Trump contributed to an insurrection. That's correct, right?
I stand by the statement.
You stand by the statement that he contributed to an insurrection. You believe that a president who contributed to an insurrection should be president again?
As does 51% of America, George. I mean, really, I understand you're part of the media. I understand you're in this New York City bubble or whatever it is. But you got to look around what's happening across this country. It's not about just supporting Trump. It's getting rid of what we have today. It's about understanding inflation is crushing families. It's understanding that this border issue is not a Texas issue. It's a 50 state issue, right? That has to be brought under control. It's about that type of elitism that the average American is just sick and tired of. And it's a culture change. That's what I'm supporting. That's what most of America right now is looking to support and want to change.
They're against the election denialism, which the former president repeated last night. You believe he contributed to the insurrection on January 6th. You believe it doesn't matter if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. He's also facing another indictment over classified documents. You said in the past that he should drop out if he's convicted in the classified documents case. Do you still believe that?
No. He's going to drop out after being the nominee? Of course not. That's not to be expected at all.
So just to sum up, you support him for president even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Let's be clear here, folks. First of all, I want to get two misstatements out of there early on. He talks about 51% of Americans support Donald Trump. 51% of Americans do not support Donald Trump. I think it's high is at about 44 or 45%, somewhere around there. Secondly, when he talks about inflation, a big inflation caused by El Señor Biden, let's remember that the only federal action that can be attributed to inflation between these two presidents is the increase in tariffs on China that Donald Trump did. Inflation is nothing more than a price increase over previous, nothing more. And the only person that did effect a price increase is Donald Trump. All these other price increases, as pointed out by Representative Katie Porter, is a choice by the corporate structure, a choice by evil corporations who would rather take milk out of the mouths of kids, who would raise your prices on mothers struggling to get to work on gasoline and everything else. They had the choice to keep prices where they were because, again, there were no shortages. They priced because they could, not because they had to. And if you doubt it, look at the profit and loss statement from these guys and how the profits has gone up as they've raised prices. And what Sununu just told you is if Republicans get into power, they will be so business friendly that there will be no mitigation of inflation. There will be no mitigation of reining these corporations in from doing what is wrong, from doing the evil things. So don't sit back and believe, oh my God, there's a culture change. We got to get rid of the wokeness. We got to take the boot off of the middle class's neck. The only ones that do that is exactly the corporations and the Republican Party and their support of policies that hurt Americans. That's why they don't want health care for all. That's why they don't want policies for child care. That's why they don't want anything that somehow will cost business a few more pennies to make the lives of everybody, the ones who created this economy, the ones who make this economy function. They want to make sure that nothing goes to them because they want it all. Let's be clear, folks. Don't fall for the scam. And these two-sided, two-mouths kind of politicians, it just shows you exactly who they are. Absolutely shows exactly who they are. And Mr. Grant, I am not saying that I wanted Iran to fire any rockets at anybody. I am saying if Israel invaded with rockets and killed Iranian generals on Iranian soil, which that's what it was in Syria on a consulate soil, then it should have been expected that Iran would respond to what Israel had done. And that said, making a comparison with my home being firebombed with Roman candles, I don't understand why you would make a statement like that, and why would Eric rejoice in a statement like that? That is sick, Eric. That is completely and entirely sick. I wouldn't wish on that on your home, nor would I qualify somebody who jokes about that on your home as something to be made fun of. My wife could have been hurt. My daughter could have been hurt. I could have been hurt. Roman candles are, in fact, explosive, whether you want to accept it or not. Roman candles and old fireworks are, in fact, explosive. Not because they're used to as fireworks to go up high, mean they are not used as explosive as well. They are. My home was firebombed with Roman candles, as explained in all the articles that were written on it, and that the ABC, CBS, and NBC and CNN carried live. Okay, are carried on their program. So why make fun of that, guys? That's sick. It is sick. You should be saying. Anyway, let's move on from that. Let's move on from that. But it is sick. But again, Israel should have expected a retaliation for what they did. It's that simple. It's not magic. And I gave you the explanation about how Iran got on the bad side of the West. The West was trying to rip off Iran. And Iran fought back. Iran fought back. Come on, people. That's why the title of today's show is exactly what it was. And it goes like this. Our ignorance of not knowing history allows us to make stupid decisions, or allow us to support stupid decisions by our government, which is generally sanctioned by the corporatocracy to make money. $4 million for every single rocket. Every single rocket that, from the Patriot missiles that went to knock down one of those drones from Iran, $4 million. It didn't really cost that. But that's what we're giving to these thugs that call themselves the defense industrial complex. Come on, people. We have got to be smart. We have got to get intelligent. We have got to get intelligent. No, it didn't start on 10-7-23. That's not when it started. It has been ongoing for decades. And to try to start it right there is disingenuous. Ask, why are all those refugees sitting back there? Egberto, I wonder what the conservatives will have to... This is from Michael Rudnan. I wonder what the conservatives will have to say about this. TRT World, destroying 300,000 homes, part of Israel's Gaza ethnic cleansing. The impact of Israel's policy in Gaza is evident with the destruction of 70% of homes, prompting international outcry and accusations of ethnic cleansing. That's what it is, genocide. Al Jazeera report, Israeli bombing destroyed over 70% of Gaza homes. Experts say the besieged Gaza Strip is unrecognizable and its bombing is the most destructive in modern history. It is genocide. It is genocide. And we are complicit. And those kids that are fighting, are closing down freeways to say, demanding a ceasefire, they're doing God's work. And I'm talking figuratively, of course. They're doing God's work. Anyway, we're at the end of the program. I want to invite folks to support the program however best they can. How can you support the program? You can support the program. The first of all, the all-encompassing link that has all the different ways to support our program can be found at politicsdoneright.com/support. politicsdoneright.com/support. But there are direct ways that you can support our program right now. One is becoming a patron. How do you become a patron? Go to politicsdoneright.com/patron. politicsdoneright.com/patron. Patron is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Alternatively, you can support us by becoming a paid subscriber of our newsletter. How do you become a paid subscriber of our newsletter? Go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. And when you get the options, I suggest become a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers get to read all five of my books online on the Substack platform. You also get little perks that I'll give throughout the year. And you also support what we're doing here. We need paid supporters for our newsletter. By the way, the newsletter, anybody can get it. But if you're paid supporters, we give you the access to all our books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Alternatively, as well, you can go ahead and get our books. Our books can be gotten at politicsdoneright.com/books. And let me put the books on the screen, the different books that we have on the screen. If you take a look at the screen, let me get out of that. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to do. That's okay. But there are the books on the screens that I have. You get access to all five of my books by going to politicsdoneright.com/books. politicsdoneright.com/books. As I see it, class warfare, the only resort to right-wing doom. That gives you that's an economic class and easy to understand. How to make America utopia, take away those who stole the economy. Likewise, we have It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relative, Friends, and Neighbors. But of course, the new book is this one here, Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man. Racism did not stop my smile, hope, and journey forward. It's one for everybody. Even Eric Hayes, one of my conservatives in the book, he got the book. He loves the book. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man. It tells a whole lot of good stories that will enlighten for everybody. Check it out. Anyway, I got a great show today. Keep free speech alive. Thank you, Brother Lee Grant. You know, I speak about my conservatives in our room all of the times, because I said if we're talking, we're not fighting. If we're talking, and I think we generally like each other. Sometimes we want to choke somebody. Hey, what's wrong with you? But we teach folks how one can coexist. Listen to my morning show at KPFT. A lot of conservative calls. They all are. We all communicate. We all communicate. So anyway, folks, I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.